Right, so loving your church. It seems a strange thing to say, doesn't it? Well, the first thing I'd like to say about it all is it's a series based around a book I read ages ago, actually, probably 18 months ago, probably during lockdown and what have you. And the title, This Love Your Church, just kind of hit me, and I thought, I wonder what that's all about, you know, in terms of, I've never seen a book written called, lots of things we've talked about the church, but how can we love our church? So there's a book written about it, which is, it says 8 great things about being a church member, actually, or belonging to a church. Okay. So the books, there's books that's available at the back. If you want one of these books and read it along with us, because we're going to cover those 8 things over the next 8 weeks. Not exactly as it's in the book here, but it will give a good background to that. If you would like to read along with us, then you can do. And there's a book there. If you've got £5 to put in the pot there to put it down, that's fine. But if not, just take one and give me it when you're ready. I think there might only be 9 or 10 there, including this one. So you might have to be quick if you want one. But it might be, it's a good book. It's really easy to read. If you like reading books, it's really easy to read. And it might help you just get background to it all. And maybe particularly house life group leaders might enjoy that. I don't know. But there's no need to read it. You don't have to. If you don't read it, you're still going to be able to follow the series. Love your church by belonging is what we're going to say today. As I said, when we started before, we talked about what we think about church, what we think of when we think of church. And lots of people think of the building, don't they? They think of that's what we call a church, or stuffy, or kind of irrelevant and out of date, or sort of the place where, contrary to what somebody said over there, you do go and you feel judged. Maybe a place where they try to be friendly, but it's not really that way, and seems to be out of touch with. And these days, particularly with a lot of the stuff that's going on in what the media and everyone call the culture wars, that we're out of step with the rest of the world. So that's kind of what the church kind of gets a reputation. And some people just are completely ambivalent towards the church, and some people have an active dislike of it. And you find that, and they're quite hostile towards the church. So what is it all about, and why should we love it? What somebody I read once before said, the church is the hope for the world. Understand that. The church is the only hope that this world has got. Now, we never would think of ourselves like that, would we? Little Trinity Church here. We are the only hope for Rainhill and the other churches who preach the gospel. It's not because the church is great. It's because we have the only answer to all of the world's issues, and we know it. And our captain and our king is Jesus, and he's the one we come to worship. The only reason we're all here this morning isn't because we actually like each other, or, well, we do like each other, but it isn't just because we like each other, because we could choose lots of other places to be where we like other people. But I guess the reason we're here this morning, that the one person that unites us is our love for Jesus, or at least our interest in him, if that's where you are this morning. And so it's Jesus who's the centre of everything and draws us together. And unmistakably has drawn us to himself, those of us who love him. So the church is vital, and we need to love it, because it becomes more than just, you know, I can love the theatre, but I don't go every week. I can love cinemas, but I don't go every week because there's lots of things that go on there that I don't like. But the church, it's like your family. So you love your family. There's some of your family you don't like really that much. I'm not going to go into that, but maybe there is. But you still meet together. And when there's big events and when you need to be together, you bet you're together. When somebody's suffering, we all suffer and we all get together and try and help people out. That's what families are, or should be, aren't they? I know there's dysfunctional ones around, but that's what a true family really is. So let's get into this. What is the church and why should we love it? And the best way we can love our church is making ourselves people who belong, recognising that we belong to each other. We'll see that as we go through. Now, I'm going to start with a quote. John Stott, I think it might come up on the screen there, is an old evangelical, he's actually gone to be with the Lord now, but an evangelical preacher well known in the evangelical church world. And this is what he says about the church. The church lies at the very centre of the eternal purposes of God. It's not a divine afterthought. It's not an accident of history. On the contrary, the church is God's new community. For God's purpose is not just to save isolated individuals, so to perpetuate our loneliness, but rather to build his church. That is, to call out of the world a people for his own glory. That's a really good way of summing up. Lots of maybe complicated words in that in some ways. But that's what God wants. God sees you and I as his church, as not an accident of history, but his whole of his purpose For mankind and humanity is wrapped up in the ministry and the work of us as his church. Wow. God left us through Christ and his Holy Spirit has left us to carry on his work in this world, which makes us really, really important. That's why the church is the only hope for the world and why we should love it to bits. And we read in the reading just before Claire read for us, Ephesians 2. Consequently, because of what Jesus has done, because of what Jesus has done, you're no longer foreigners and aliens to each other. He's talking there to Jews and Gentiles, wasn't he really? But it applies to all of us. You're no longer foreigners and aliens to God, if you like, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. We're a household. You've got a household at home. I've got a household at home. We are God's household. In that sense, family, as we've said, built on the foundation of the apostles and the people in Jesus' day and who witnesses to Jesus and the prophets from before in the Old Testament, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, the one who sets the standard for everything. Jesus is the absolute centre, the brick that starts it all off. It's all built around him. We have to lay a foundation stone, don't we, in buildings, and it's got names on it and things like that. A really important bit of the building. Jesus is our foundation stone. He's the only one who's really important. And it's not what we want that matters, it's what he wants, because it's his church. And if we're his family, imagine yourself at the head of the biggest table ever, all having your dinner at tea time, whatever, you have the old picture of the family, and there's somebody who's the head of the table who gets to carve the meat or whatever, who gets to bring it all in, who gets to perhaps say grace at the table. And the one who's the head of the table is Jesus for us in that way. Christ Jesus is the cornerstone. In him, the whole building, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple. A temple is a place where God lives. We'll look at that in a second. And in him, you too, you, talking to us, are also being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. God lives in us individually by his Spirit, but corporately as his family, God lives in us. This is powerful stuff. God himself has called you out of the world to be here this morning, to be in his church worldwide and universal, but also to be part of a local church so that you could be his expression here. He's building, he's dwelling in you so that you could come and bring, as it were, him into this place this morning, along with everybody else, and together he dwells amongst us. What a wonderful picture of the church that is. That's what it says in God's word. So we are the dwelling of God for his Spirit, and somebody once called that the community of the Holy Spirit. Because God ministers to us and relates to us. We read about him through his word, but he's, remember, on Pentecost we saw that, and we'll perhaps look at that in a week or two, that he sent his Holy Spirit, and he sends his Holy Spirit so that could be the engine, the power, if you like, that reveals God to us. He's much more than just a force. Going back to Star Wars, he's not the force be with you. That's what they used to say there, didn't they? But actually, he's much more than that. He's not just like some kind of magic force. The Holy Spirit is God himself who comes to make his home in us. Lots we could say about that. We haven't got time to go into all of that this morning. And God does that. And when God called us, he calls us individuals. But so often in the Bible, and more often than not in the Bible, God refers to the bride, the people he loves, or people he loves as a people, as a group of people. So we're not saved and brought out of the world just to be individuals. No, nothing in the Bible ever commending an individual type of Christianity. I don't need the church. Basically, if you say you don't need the church, you're saying you don't need God. Because the church is God's kind of expression in the world. And you can't, the Bible calls us his bride. We'll talk about that in a second as well. So you're saying, we love you, Lord, but we can't stand your wife. That's terrible, isn't it? I don't know, you maybe said that, I don't know. Some people are laughing far too loud here. We better move on, all right. It's what makes us different, because it's not just a club that we join. It is a family that we're part of and we're born into. So what does it look like? God's new community. Got another couple of quotes, they should come up on the screen as well in a minute. But if we start with Exodus chapter 6 and verse 7. where God says, right at the beginning of the Bible, this is the reason he came, and he chose Moses and he chose the people of Israel. And he said, I'm choosing you as your people. I will take you as my own people and I will be your God. So God's purpose was in a group of people. And the reason it was a group of people and God chose them wasn't because they were better than anybody else, but God needed a way to show himself to the world in a way that the world would understand. And so he chose people, people of Israel. And they were supposed to go and be a light to the nations and take God to the world so that they would understand. They failed in that. And God knew that was going to happen, which is why he sent Jesus. The whole story of the Bible is wrapped up in God's purpose for his people. And then we see right at the end of the Bible what it's going to be like at the end. Revelation chapter 21. And I heard a loud voice from heaven and the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. And he will dwell with them, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And actually it goes on to say, and he'll wipe every tear from their eyes. That's what heaven's going to be like. We'll still be God's people in heaven without all the strains and the things that hold us back in on earth, which is what we can look forward to. So God's purpose is right, as John Stott said, right through the church, isn't it? It comes, the church, the actual word church comes from a Greek word. Now, I'm not going to, I always vowed in sermons I wouldn't blind people with Greek and stuff like that, because really you don't need to know that on a Sunday morning. It's far too difficult. But a Greek word for church is ecclesia. That's the only one you're going to get to know. Now, you know the word ecclesiastical stuff. If you go to, you know, some people in churches wear ecclesiastical garments, robes and stuff. Some churches have ecclesiastical furniture, like the communion table or the stuff we take the communion round in, the trays and things. And it's often grouped under a thing, if you look it up in a catalogue, ecclesiastical furniture. It's where this word comes from. It's church stuff. It's something to do with church. But the actual word means a gathering of people, or more particularly, a gathering that God has brought together. Okay. And in the New Testament day, it could have been any sort of gathering that God brought together, but we've called it church. Okay. But church was every time God's people got together, whether it was two or three, as Jesus once said, or whether it was thousands of people. It's still church, any gathering. But it did mean an assembly gathered by God. And the first kind of place it was properly used in the New Testament was in Deuteronomy, where God, remember when God gathered all the people, his people, by Mount Sinai, and he spoke to them and he gave his word to them. So that kind of set the blueprint for what church was like. God gathers a group of people who are his, brings them together so that they can hear what he has to say to them. That's very similar, not a mountain or anything like that, but it's very similar to what we do in church. The basics of church are God gathering his group of people together so we can hear what he says to us, as we're doing this morning. So it's God's gathered community. That's what the church is. We gather together, and it's important that we gather. We'll look at that in the weeks to come. It's important that we don't miss the gathering, because gathering is very important to God, that he brings us together so he can speak to us. So we gather to worship as we are this morning, but we don't just stay gathered. We don't live in a commune and never go anywhere. But the church was meant to scatter, to go to the nations, and we scatter to witness. So the church has two purposes in that sense, doesn't it? Gathering is very important, but we need to scatter. We need to be part of the world as well, to go out and witness to the world. And that's the purpose of the church. And as I say, God's eternal purpose is wrapped up in all of that. So we're not saved individually and we choose to join a club, which is the best club for us, the one that fits us best. But we're born into a family. And a church is my family. I'm born again into it. Remember Jesus said to Nicodemus, you can't be a Christian, you can't be a follower of me until you're born again. And it's like you're born again into a new family. That's what the church is. That's how God describes it. And so as a Christian, in terms of who I am, we've talked about this before, and that word belong, first of all, I belong to God. Individually, I belong to God. I'm his child. If I've been born again, if I've committed my life to Jesus, if I've recognised the fact that I'm a sinner and I've walked away from God and I need to come back to him, and I've confessed my sin and I've trusted in Jesus and what he did on the cross, then I belong to Jesus. Remember those Brazilian footballers on their T-shirts in the World Cup final with their I belong to Jesus written on it? Very good witness. That this is all brilliant, this World Cup that we've just won, but actually, I belong to Jesus. That's the most important thing. It's all for him. So I belong to him first of all because I'm born again into his family. So he's my father. God's my father. Jesus is my brother. Amazingly. And yours too, if you're in. So I belong to my, but also, you're all my brothers and sisters too. I didn't get to choose you. I didn't get to choose my human brother and sister either as well. If you like, my earthly family, my brother and two sisters, and my mum and dad, and the aunties and uncles and all of that, you don't get to choose them, do you? I wonder if you'd have chosen differently if you had. But, you know, we don't get to choose them, but we're in it. And in a similar way, we are in the church. We are brothers and sisters. Some of us are grandmas and granddads to the kids and all that sort of thing. That's the kind of picture the Bible paints right the way through the scriptures of who we are. And it says that we belong to each other just like you would in a family. That blood's thicker than water thing applies to the church too in this way. So Romans 12 and verse 5 talks about that. We are body and each member belongs to each other. So that we're inextricably linked, you and I, whether we like it or not. Even before I knew you and came to Rainhill or a couple of years ago now, I was still your brother, even though you didn't know me. Your long-lost brother's come home. I'm here now. But then there's other people who we don't know as well. But that's why God gathers into local fellowships so we can be church together, so we can be family. And that's why we do that, isn't it? And it has huge implications for us. To be a Christian is to belong to God's new community. You can't necessarily be a Christian and not belong to it, because it's like saying, I want to be a human but not be born. You can't do that. Once you're born into God's family, you are part of his church, whether you like it or not. And you need to serve in that way. So it's not about it's not going to the cinema, it's not going to a theatre to be entertained, but it's coming somewhere to be a part of it, isn't it? To be a family. And so all of us, at some point, have left the world's family. And all of us who are Christians have joined God's family. We've been born again, out of the world, into his family. And that's what, when we get baptised, one of the symbols of our church is being baptised. And when we get baptised, that's what that is. We've died to the world, as it were, and been born into a new family. That's what it's all about, one of the things that it's all about. So it's not just, sometimes we think, oh, it must be really hard for somebody from another faith to become a Christian, or somebody from another culture to become a Christian. But actually, it's hard for all of us, because we've all got to leave the world behind and put the cross before us. That's what we sing, don't we? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. So that's how we are. That's what the church is. And it's a group of people just like you and me together. And the Bible has lots of pictures for the church. And we're going to look at them very briefly, because we've already mentioned some of them this morning. But God's new community in the Bible is described, the church is described in lots of different pictures. And again, a couple of quotes, as I said before, this time from Martin Lloyd-Jones. Have you heard of him? The doctor, Welsh, he could preach up a storm. Welsh preachers have got a really unfair advantage over the rest of us, because their voice is fantastic. It's a bit like, they're all like Tom Jones. And they go, and they start preaching. And they call it the hoyl, the kind of inflection. And nobody, everyone listens, and they can have you crying in 5 minutes. Martin Lloyd-Jones is a bit like that, okay? But a brilliant teacher of the scriptures. And this is what he said. Belonging to a church means investing your life in a gospel-centered community of believers who joyfully serve one another and advance Jesus' mission together. Right? There's what we're meant to be about. And he goes on to say, the greatest need for this hour, that was in his day, and he wrote this book out of this book called Spiritual Depression. He wrote it in the 70s, but it's still the same now. The greatest need for this hour is a revived and joyful church. Unhappy Christians, wait for this, are a poor recommendation for the faith. I'm saying nothing. The exuberant joy of the early Christians was one of the most potent factors in the spread of early Christianity. I thought this the other week, actually, because we've been thinking about different things as a church and thinking about vision and how we go forward, and we hope to share that more with you in the weeks to come. But I was thinking about this, and I thought, if Jesus, you know, bodily came into this church this way, he's here with us, we said he was, so King Jesus with us in spirit this morning. But if he came in here like he was, you know, alive, still walking on the earth, I wonder where he'd sit. Have you ever thought of that? And I wonder if he came to sit next to you, he'd think, oh, I wish I'd be sitting over there next to them, because that's terrible sitting there. Or if he sit next to you, he'd catch your infectious enthusiasm for what's going on around you. And I wonder if he came in, he thought, who are they singing about? Well, they don't seem that convinced. or this morning, sing my soul. And we got into it a little bit. You thought, oh, this is great. I love it here. It's all about me. It's a question for us to think about over the dinner table, isn't it? I wonder who Jesus would like to sit by in church and where he would like to sit. I sometimes think he'd want to sit on the platform with the kids, to be honest, because he'd probably enjoy that best. But there you go. How do we compare with that then, these things that we've just read on there? Are we glad we belong to church? Are we glad we're a Christian? And are we glad we're here at Trinity? That's the question, isn't it? Is this your church? Do we? And that's where this love your church comes from. Exuberant joy, sharing together, being together. The church, when it works, is the most beautiful thing on this planet. It's the most inclusive thing on this planet. The world is trying to be as inclusive as it possibly can. Jesus' mission for the church is to be the most inclusive place. And the reason why is that when we come to this table a bit later on, when we're coming to the table, everybody who comes there, we recognise our need for Jesus to die for us. That's what these symbols represent, don't they? And we all recognise that we need Jesus to die for us. And it's as though we're all standing naked with no before the cross, really embarrassed because of our sin. And it doesn't matter who we are out there, in here, before the throne of God, we are all like that. Whether, and whatever background we've come from, whatever hang-ups we have, whatever sins we've committed, whatever way we think of life, the way we approach God is in that way. And that's why it makes it absolutely inclusive. It's a wonderful thing, the church, isn't it? Don't believe all this rubbish that says the church is bigoted and all that, because it's not meant to be. We are meant to be the most inclusive organisation ever, because when a sinner comes in here, however bad they are, they're just the same as me, because I'm just like that and I need to come for forgiveness. Brilliant, isn't it? That's what we need to talk about. So look at biblical metaphors for church. Let's look at these pictures. For a body, we're going to look at this more in the future. Romans chapter 12, Christ is the head of the body and all the body has to work together, coordinated. Don't know how coordinated you are, but we all need to have that working together. Some of us are more visible than others. Some of us we like to cover up or whatever. But either way, we're all part of the body. You've heard that. It's a really good illustration of the church, isn't it? And when one part hurts, all of it hurts. And when one part's exhilarated, all of it's exhilarated. That's what it means. That's what it means. That's what we have to be. We're a bride as well. Ephesians 5:32. God has chosen us as his bride. And you have to be careful who you choose as your bride, don't you? Or your husband or whatever. You have to be careful who your partner's going to be in life. Well, God has chosen us out of darkness into his wonderful light. He is, and it's not just a kind of an organisation we belong to, but this is a relationship that's in love. That's covenanted in love for eternity. So we're his bride being prepared. He's getting us ready for the day when we meet him in heaven properly and sit at the wedding feast that we'll have. And we are going to be part of all of that. A bride. Amazing. We're a family. We've already said that a couple of times. We read about that. A household. Therefore, we're all brothers and sisters together. A wonderful picture of the church. A temple where God resides. That's what David said. God's building you into this church. Living stones in the building of the temple. And again, you know, there's lots of pictures of that. But I love to picture the church walls being built of those, like the dry stone walls. You go to the Lake District or Yorkshire where or Wales, there's lots of these dry stone walls, isn't there? Have you ever watched anyone build one of them? It's quite a thing, isn't it? I don't know, there's like two sides to it, but they just know which, because they're all different shapes and sizes and they all seem like they shouldn't fit. And yet they pick the right ones in the right places and it stands for years and years and years. And God is the builder and we are those rough stones that he's got on the ground and he's building us into a temple, a place where he lives all together. It might look a bit rough and ready on the outside, but it's going to stand forever. Wow, that's what the church is, a temple where God lives. The place which will bring God to his world. The place where if the world wants to know, or the people, if the world wants to know what God's like, they need to go to the church. That's a responsibility, isn't it? Not going to find it anywhere else. And finally, we're his flock, Acts chapter 20. We belong to the good shepherd who takes care of his sheep. And we hear his voice and we know him and we follow him. So we're like his flock. And Jesus, our good shepherd, leads us to green pastures, through the valleys and into heaven in the end. What a picture of God's new community that is. I hope you're excited about the church. That's why we should love it. This is God's idea. What a brilliant idea. God sat in heaven before the world began and thought of all of this. It's amazing, isn't it? For a community. And the word for community in the Bible is koinonia. It's fellowship. You've probably another Greek word that you perhaps heard. Fellowship. But just sharing a cup of tea and stuff like that doesn't cut it. What it means, and getting on to what our word for the day is, belonging. We love our church by belonging to it. Then to belong to the church means that, as I say, we're born into it, but it means communion, sharing, participation, not being a consumer. So we've mentioned a couple of times already this morning that when we go to church, we're not coming just to see what's on offer, to see if it tickles me fancy, as it were, and I get enjoyment out of it. It's much more than that. Yes, we come to listen. Yes, we come to sing. And yes, there's people who will serve at the front and do that. But church is so much more than that. We've already described all that, haven't we? Hopefully you've got that now. Church is somewhere where every single person contributes, like a family. Every single person gives and participates. So we're not consumers. We take part. We're a community, the Bible says, of the Holy Spirit in 2 Corinthians. We're a community. We're in community with the Son of God, it says in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul talks about how they, part of the church, shared their lives with each other. It's a great description of the church. Acts 4 and 32 talks about sharing our property sometimes with each other. It's all his, so we open our homes to one another. Hospitality should be a hallmark of every New Testament church. We are hospitable to one another. It doesn't mean to say we just have people around for meals, but it means we're open to each other. We have an open house in that sense in our heart. Sharing the gospel. A lot of it's all down to sharing and taking part in that. And then when we come to the Lord's table, as we will do soon, it's about partaking, as we said before, at all at the same level. Remembering that the only thing that unites us is our need for Jesus. The fact that he's died for us and risen again and forgiven our sin, and that's why we're joyful. And so we go back to that verse we mentioned before. Out of all the pictures, the body is the one that kind of resonates the most. Romans 12 and verse 5, it should be up there. In Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. But that sometimes takes work. What does it mean in practice? I'm going to finish this morning with these famous words, and it was on the video before for us. Belonging to God's new community. What does it mean to belong? And it is actually in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. The word is devoted. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together, had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's what the church should be like. If you want to know a picture of it, a blueprint, Acts 2, verse 42 onwards. We've just read it. They were devoted. Devoted means, in a sense, continuously, steadfastly, actively seeking after something. They were devoted to each other, not depending on circumstances or our feelings, or not thinking about what's in it for me. We're just devoted to each other. That's what it says. A selfless church, the opposite to the world, because we're doing the same thing. If we're going to behave like Jesus' family, then that's how Jesus was with us. Selfless, devoted, all the way to Calvary for us. They were devoted to five things. Teaching. The word of God meant something, so they gathered so they could hear it. They loved to hear the word of God. Devoted to the preaching of the apostles. Together, in church, but also in each other's homes as well. A bit like what we do. Said, I don't think we do that. Life groups and together in church, in that sense. Joyful submission to God's word. To fellowship. A vibrant, loving, sharing, caring community. We're going to look at all these things in the weeks to come. Every day they met together. They couldn't get enough of each other. It was all brand new and they were excited about it every day. They had everything in common. Doesn't mean to say that they didn't differ on anything and never fell out. Just turn to Acts 6, four chapters later, and you find it already fallen out over a few things. That's family for you, isn't it? And it'll be the same for us here. But they did it with glad and sincere hearts. Christ was still at the centre. They loved being with each other, a genuine gospel community. So they didn't just turn up on church on a Sunday or the meeting on Wednesday, and that was it. That was what they thought it all meant. But actually, these people were committed, devoted to one another. This is our calling. This is why we should. This is how we belong to our church. We have that same attitude that they had in this sense. And then, so they belonged to one another. No one was left out. A proper inclusion, as we said before. They were devoted not only to that, the teaching, but to breaking of bread, which was their worship. But remembering Jesus, making sure that Jesus was always at the centre. So basically, you know, how often did they celebrate the Lord's Supper? They did it every time they met. So it was every day. And then that got, when you read the New Testament, it gets a little bit sort of, it started to get a little bit too familiar. And they started to take it all for granted. And people started, sin started creeping in. And people were getting a bit selfish over it and all that kind of thing. And so in the end, they ended up meeting just on the first day of the week when they met together, which is our Sunday. And they would celebrate the Lord's Supper then. And they would meet together, breaking of bread, worshipping together. And it became more of a weekly thing, which is what where we get our worship services from. And so on and so forth. And then there was a development of that as well. So, but ultimately, they just loved to get together to remember Jesus. Jesus was part of every meeting that they had, praying for one another. And that was the next thing. They were devoted to prayer at the required times when they met together, but also all times, any time they could, praying for one another. Not just I'm praying for you, but actually getting alongside someone and praying for them. Great thing to do, isn't it? And then witnessing to, proclaiming the gospel, telling people about Jesus day after day, just sharing the good news. I mean, they had, in a sense, because of who they were and the way they acted and the way it was so different to the world around them, people were interested. What's going on with you? And they wanted to know. And they had an opportunity to witness, which is what the church should be. So these are big things, aren't they? And belonging means we are devoted to this type of church. And the question for us this morning is how much do we belong to Trinity? Are we devoted to the Lord and his church here at Trinity in all this way? And so our response this morning, as we finish, we are a people of grace called together by God. And the first question of all that is, have you heard the call? Is God calling you to be a part of his family? Maybe you did that years ago, but is God calling you this morning, perhaps for the first time, to say, yes, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that, not because it's a great little community, but because Jesus, the Jesus who's at the centre of it, I love him and I want to be part of that. And I want to know his salvation. I want to know I'm safe in his arms for eternity. I want to be part of his family. Well, that might be what you need to do this morning, to turn to him, because we're people of grace. He's called us, and maybe God is calling you out of the world and into his kingdom, into his church this morning. Do you belong to this church? Do you feel like you belong to this church? Are you part of it? What are you contributing to it? Are you giving towards this in all sorts of ways? Will you become part of this fellowship? Will you become part of his church, wherever it might be? We'd love lots of people to be part of this fellowship, but as long as you're part of a fellowship somewhere, that's what matters. That we are in a place where we can give and we can support and we can show up and we can be there and we can encourage and we can build up. That's what we do. That's what the church does. And we can welcome the outsider and the stranger and people. And they feel acceptable amongst us. Is that what people feel like? We're a community, giving of ourselves. So the question is, how are you contributing to that? How are you helping that? Because that's where we belong to each other. That's how we should be. Is there joy in that giving of ourselves? Are we connected with other people? Do we go to a life group? Perhaps we should think about doing that because we can get connected a bit better. It's not about the meeting. You don't go to support a meeting. You go to support one another. Are you going to come on Wednesday and pray with each other because we want to support one another and help one another and pray for our brothers and sisters who we've never met but are in trouble? Let's pray for them. Or maybe just meeting one-to-one for a coffee or a tea just to support somebody who you know is struggling. Invite them round to your house. Invite a family round to your house. Invite a few people around. Have dinner with them. Have a cup of coffee with them, whatever. But just share something. And are we witnessing in the way that we live our lives? Do people know Trinity as that church where there's something beautiful about that place? Because that's what it's really all about, isn't it? Telling our story in the way that we live. We devoted to the word, devoted to preaching, devoted to hearing and speaking and reading and sharing it and living it. That's what God's called us to. That's what it means to belonging to your church. And that's how we can love our church, to truly belong, to truly give, and to truly be a part of God's family. It's absolutely compelling. And it never fails to win people to Christ. Never has done and never will, because it's God's blueprint for his church.